Episode of Vibes. Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K25. Make sure you click the link in the description of the show. If you want to support us and keep hearing these podcasts, you must click the link, get your copy of NBA 2K25 pre-ordered. I know there were some issues over the last few days. I think it depends on like the cookies in your... BJ, cookies that go in a computer, right? It's not an electric
Jay, did you notice when he went to, you know, the vibes, I heard a little crack.
Yeah, I did too.
You heard a little crack.
I heard a little crack.
It didn't ring with the normal harmony.
I'll tell you why. It's because I've been playing NBA 2K24 just now with my friends, and we lost a couple games, so I was screaming at them on the headset. Mm. You know, I had to let them know.
Oh, you were screaming at them because you definitely weren't at fault.
Hey, I pull up to every game. I'm reliable for a good 20 points and 15 rebounds. Okay.
Okay.
I will bring mine to the table. If you don't make your shots, I'm going to shout. Just, hey, I play my position. I get the rebounds. I set the screens. I finish the lobs. Okay? I'm real life Aaron Gordon. My shooters aren't hitting. What can I do about that?
Okay.
What can I do about that? So that's why my voice is going. If I keep playing like this, I'm going to be sounding like Tom Thibodeau soon with that Cookie Monster voice. But we'll talk about tips in a second. It's me, Momoncy, alongside me as always, the one and only Mr. Scott Perry, and BJ Armstrong's back as well. How weird is that now? The intro's changed. How weird is that?
Don't change that, Mo.
For 500 episodes, I said, with me as always, the one and only BJ Armstrong, but now he's lost his spot at the top of the rankings.
Mo, you're a tough host, Mo. You're a tough host, Mo.
I'm on a tight ship. Whether it's 2K, whether it's podcast, whether it's real life, I got to make sure everyone's on point. You know what I'm saying? I got to make sure everyone's on point. Interesting. Did you guys see that the NBA had their rights deal matched by TNT, but they still opted to go with Amazon instead of TNT? What are your guys' thoughts about that?
Well, what it says to me is that what Amazon put on the table probably was exactly what the league was looking for in terms of their streaming capabilities and things of that nature that probably were, you know, items that TNT weren't able to provide. So so I'm not totally surprised by it. And I'm sure there will be some public haggling going on and positioning going on over the next couple weeks. But but again, I'm not surprised by it. You know, Amazon brings a lot of money to the table, and obviously their reach really is an unprecedented reach. So I get it. Makes sense to me.
Jeff Bezos, if you're listening, I think if me, BJ, and Scott had a show, Amazon might be the perfect home for it. Jeff, if you're listening. Jeff, if you're listening, hit me. I'll give you my number. Holler at me.
Hey,
ready to work.
And that could be streamed all around the globe, right?
Oh, yeah. Me and Scott are ready to work. BJ will turn up once Vegas is over. BJ, are you going to miss Charles Barkley, Shaq, Kenny, and Ernie? I think it's a great loss.
Yeah, oh, that we're going to definitely miss them. Yeah. Definitely miss them.
It's a new world now, and the way the game is broadcast and the way the game is played, I just think now what this signals to me, it's a tech space now. Mm-hmm. It's a tech space. If you look at the owners that are coming in and the economics, this business is being driven by tech, right? Mm-hmm. And it makes sense to align themselves with a company like Amazon, to align themselves up with the Disney ABC, and then align themselves up with NBC. Why? Because NBC is playing in the international space in the Olympic broadcast. So this makes sense to me when you look at the way sports is being transitioned into the streaming space. So I hear it. It is what it is. I know change is difficult, but when you look at the world in which we play in, technology is huge. It's going to be one of the driving forces in how we experience sports. I'll say that. the way we're looking at sports today, I don't think it's how we're going to be viewing sports in 4 or 5 years. And with technology being infused into that space more and more through VR and whatever else is going to come up in the next couple of years, it makes sense to me why the NBA would be partnering with people that's going to be able to give you a, has the potential to give you a different viewing experience as we are experiencing sports now. Mm-hmm. So that's what I see. And I think all of the antics of all of these things, that's part of the legal process. Mm-hmm. I think what I heard was Adam Silver said it's totally out of their hands now. I think it will work itself out and they will move on, but they have to move forward to the tech world because that is the future and that's what it is. So to me, it's just business as usual.
That's the consumer base. That's the consumer base now.
Yeah. So it's just business as usual.
Watched and consumed are, you know, a lot different than when we grew up and all we had, we were watching was linear television. So
you're right. You guys are right. The tech space is evolving. The world is evolving. But there are three things that remain as uncertainties: death, taxes, and Tom Thibodeau playing his players too many minutes. And that's going to continue in New York as he signed a 3-year contract extension. How you like that segue, Scott? Never saw that coming, did you?
I did not see that coming. I did not see something. Let's let the man enjoy his 3-year extension that he earned, Mo.
That's right. That's right. I know OG Anunoby's knee is not going to be enjoying that, but I'm sure the players will. You know, the players, they always talk about Tibbs and how much they love him. And we're lucky enough to have the general manager who hired Tom Thibodeau to the New York Knicks on the show with us. So, Scott, I want you to take this one away.
Well, first of all, congratulations to Tom Thibodeau. Well earned. Ever since he came to New York, that was back in 2020, I believe, that he started. Yeah, and he's done a terrific job. He's been a major reason in helping turn that franchise and that organization around into a very consistent NBA team that now is being talked about as an organization that has a chance to compete at the highest levels, meaning playing in the Eastern Conference Finals, making it to a finals, and maybe even ultimately hoisting the championship. You know, his first year there that Tibbs came in, went to the playoffs in a very difficult time because Tibbs started during COVID. We had the bubble, and I remember, you know, working out, getting a chance to watch him work then. And one thing I can say for him, you know what you're gonna get from Tom Thibodeau each and every day. From the guy I saw from during that time in the summertime when we were practicing and working out in a bubble atmosphere, all the way to this point here now, he's very consistent. His teams are going to always be prepared at both ends of the floor. So, and he is and BJ knows this about him too. He's, you know, he's a workaholic. I mean, he's a gym rat. You know, those are the kind of players that he likes. If you look at the roster now, it is highly reflective of him and his personality. So, made a lot of sense to me seeing this extension now. And he knows this as well as anybody, the real, real pressure starts now because the expectations in New York are as high as they've been really since that group in the 90s with Patrick Ewing, and Tibbs was there for a period of time as an assistant coach. But that Allen Houston, Patrick Ewing, Charles Oakley, Latrell Sprewell, John Starks, that whole group, this group that's there now, people in New York have huge expectations for them. And now they got to take the next step. Last 2 years been to the Eastern Conference semifinals. I believe this year, anything less than a conference finals will be viewed as a step back or a failure, in my opinion, based on where all the narrative's at right now. All the moves that were made this summer, going to trade for Mikal Bridges, you re-signed OG Anunoby after the big trade in season last year. Julius Randle's coming back healthy. Jalen Brunson is coming off an all NBA season. And so now this is going to be a team playing with high expectations. That for many people, this is the team right below Boston in the Eastern Conference that will be probably the most popular selection to come out of the East.
BJ, what are your thoughts?
Well, congratulations. It's one thing I respect in this league. It's very difficult to win. And in particular, it's really difficult to win in New York City. So want to give Coach Thibodeau credit. You want to give the Knicks credit. Scott was there from the beginning and helped with this entire process. And now to see everyone being rewarded for what they were able to do on the court, because that's a very difficult place. There's the NBA, yes. And then there's New York.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. And that's what we have to understand.
You can say that again, BJ.
Yeah, New York is a very different place. Now,
yes.
What we now it's going to be interesting to see because, you know, we're trying to say this kindly, right? You don't need to turn New York up. It's already turned up.
It's okay. Turned up.
But let me tell you something. If they don't get to the conference finals, okay, there's going to be a problem. Now, this team, everyone loves New York right now. Mm-hmm. They have clearly, you know, on their roster. And when you look at the roster and you look at the team, they've upgraded their team with Mikal Bridges. Jalen Brunson, you know, all NBA player. Julius Randle. Now everything is set. Tom Thibodeau, you know. Josh Hart, DiVincenzo.
OG.
OG sign. Now, okay. Now, this is your group, okay? Now, as much as they love the team right now, if they say it's in a quick New York second, they will turn on
New York just as fast.
Okay. Okay. What they say, orange and blue skies. Is that what it is? Mm-hmm.
Orange and blue skies. That's orange right. And blue orange skies. And blue skies.
Exactly. Right now, everyone I know from New York City has called me, and I love these words. I've heard this now for 30 years. The Knicks are back. The Knicks are back. Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to allow this group. And they should. They put together a nice team on paper. Looks good. Feels good. You have all of the pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see what they do. But let me tell you something. If for some reason that we can't see right now, it doesn't. There's going to be a lot of podcasts this year, right? Where we're going to have to talk about New York. Because I'm telling you right now, the expectations are very high for this team. Very high for this group, as it should be, based on what we see.
No question.
And right now, they have a legit chance. Okay. Now, do I think they are better than the Celtics? Well, I don't think they're better, but I'll tell you this. They got a chance in a seven-game series. A chance. Mm-hmm. And I think they have a chance. So I'm excited to see this group. Everything is all set. The team is set. The coaches are set. And now I like to say, hey, you know the vibes.
I'm gonna tell you this.
Hey, Bo, you know what? I want to say one thing.
Go on.
Get buckets.
That's not the outro. Yeah. You know, the outro. People are gonna turn off the podcast because that thing is finished. What are you doing?
Hey, I tell you one thing. Hey, look.
Well, I tell you what. This is the outro.
Hey. But the Knicks got to get buckets is basically what
that's about. Knicks got to get buckets.
Well, I want to say, you know, Scott was talking about how hardworking Tom Thibodeau is and how dedicated he is. Mm-hmm. Tom Thibodeau dropped one of the hardest quotes I've heard.
Which was? Okay.
After he broke up with his fiance 6 weeks before the wedding, he said, there's no room for a woman in my life if I'm going to be a basketball coach. Now, if that don't show you how dedicated this man was to becoming an NBA coach and the level of sacrifice he was willing to make, shout out to Tibbs, man. Shout out to him.
Oh, look. Tibbs is what we call in the coaching profession a true lifer. Tibbs is going to coach as long as he can walk and sit up straight. and stand up straight and can have a voice. He's gonna coach as long as he can. He just it's just in his blood. That's who he is. And I don't know if there's anything else I know there's nothing else he would want to do, that's for sure. So anyway, again, kudos to him. Yeah. Like I said, a lot of times people say well deserved. I like to say well earned.
Absolutely.
He earned it.
Absolutely. Well, Team USA's time in London has come to an end. I didn't get to tell you guys yesterday, I went to the USA women's game against Germany, and they absolutely destroyed them. Like, the men's team should have done, but the women got it done in easy fashion. Fantastic performance. But now the squads have headed to Paris to get ready for the Olympics, which start very soon. As Joel Embiid arrived in Paris, the fans were screaming at him to give his passport back. Because if you remember, he got himself a French passport to play for them. So he's not going to be a crowd favorite over there in the Olympics. But he's been having a little bit of a media run this week. In the past week, this is what he's basically said. He said, number one, LeBron is washed. And LeBron responded by taking over and winning those games for Team USA. He said he could have been the GOAT if he never got injured. And to that, I say, if my grandmother had wheels, she would have been a bicycle. But she didn't, so she's not. And you guys aren't going to understand that quote because you're not from the UK. Exactly. But I'll send you the clip.
Exactly. Because I hadn't heard that one before, Mo. That was a new one.
That is one of the funniest clips in UK television history, right? It's a daytime cooking show. It's the off-season, so I'm going to tell this story. I don't care. It's a cooking show on TV. It's like a daytime show. And this Italian chef, like a really world-renowned, famous Italian chef, his name is Gino De Campo, I think. He's like a Michelin star chef. So he's come in, and he's made his favorite pasta dish. And the two hosts of the show are two English people. And this English lady, she tries the pasta. And she says, oh, if this had bacon in, it would be a carbonara. And he looks so disgustingly offended because a carbonara is like the most basic. I don't know if you guys get that over there.
Oh, right?
But it's like a very basic dish, right? Whereas this man has been cooking this dish for like an hour on TV and he's putting his soul into it. And he looks at her with the utmost disgust. He goes, if my grandmother had wheels, she would have been a bike. And the entire studio just, because that's how ridiculous he thought it was that she compared his pasta to a carbonara. But anyway,
What I would ask you though, Mo, you sound like you really like the look of that carbonara. And if I'm not mistaken, carbonara has a little bacon in it.
If it's turkey bacon, if it's turkey bacon, beef bacon, lamb bacon, we good. But if it's pork, there's no pork on my fork. Real talk.
All right, I digress. Mo. Exactly.
So, Embiid said LeBron's washed. He said he would have been the GOAT without injuries. He said that he would average 50 if there was no double teams allowed in the NBA. And he said that Tatum's got a super team. And if he went 5 from 20, his team would get blown out. Now, LeBron, clearly the best player on Team USA, he's not washed. Embiid clearly wouldn't be the GOAT without injuries, seeing as he chokes in the playoffs every year. When he said he would average 50 without double teams, the funniest part about that was, right, because, Scott, if I said to you, I'm going to go average 50. If you can't double team me, I'm going to average 50. I'm going to score on everyone. But do you know what Embiid said? He said, if they can't double team me, I'm going to get the ball and go to the line. And if I don't get to the line, then I'll make a bucket. That shows you where his priorities are. And then he said Tatum's got a super team, and if he goes 5 of 20, he gets blown out. Well, there's numerous statistics you can look up which show that that's not the case. And Tatum has been eliminating Embiid from the playoffs every time they matched up for however many years now. But what do you guys think about Embiid and all these things that he's had to say? Because some people are suggesting that he's a sleeper agent here to take down the USA, given his poor performance on the court and his disruptive comments in the media. How would you feel if there was a player in your locker room that was saying all of these things about his teammates?
I'm going to let BJ start take it the first, because he knows Joel and Joel a little bit. And I have some thoughts, though.
I listen to these things, and I'm a little older than you, you know. So when I hear people say things, I think I'm just conditioned. That's the player in me has never left. I hear the coach. It's just I hear it and I move on. I really don't take much. I don't put much stock in what people are saying. You know, everyone talks a good game. I don't even know where he said these things at. What is it? What he said in our podcast or something?
Probably.
I don't know.
Probably. That's where a lot of foolishness comes from, podcasts. Yeah. I mean, who wants to do a podcast and say foolish things? I can never imagine that.
That's what I'm saying. You know the vibes. You know the vibes. So I don't know what he's saying, but what I do know right now is when I look at this Team USA team and all of the things that we say, you know, I played some years ago, and every time I turn on the television or I listen to these things, they tell me today's players are more skilled. They tell me today's players are this and today's players are that and da da da. And, you know, and I keep watching the game and I go, something doesn't look right to me. Something doesn't look right to me. Okay. And all I know is I'm just going to watch. So I'm going to bypass all of this rhetoric and infighting and trying to analyze and all these things, because I know JoJo. It's one thing I'm going to say about JoJo is JoJo is really funny, and he is a master at trolling people. Mm-hmm. And if it's one thing he knows what to say that's going to get some clicks. He knows what he's saying. Now, that's one thing I know about him. Okay. And I have an unfair advantage. So that's what I know. I want to see Team USA accomplish what they set out to accomplish. Right now, all of that is sidetracking me to the following. They had a very difficult time against South Sudan, and they had a very difficult time versus Germany.
It's Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a very difficult time in this 5-game preseason, whatever you want, friendlies.
Yeah, the friendlies game.
The friendlies. So
yes.
I'm going to stay focused to what's going on. And I'm watching Coach Kerr said it was very difficult watching it on tape.
Watching it from the sidelines because he wasn't doing much coaching. Okay. A lot of watching.
So right now, guys, we have ourselves a situation. This is not going to be easy. And JoJo could be doing a masterful job of getting everyone distracted, talking about what he's saying. But right now, I'm focused on that team. That team does not look like a gold medal team right now. Okay? I'm concerned. So I'm going to stay focused. I'm going to let you handle it, Mo, because I know, Mo, you have something to say. Scott, it's on you. But right now, I'm not going to get distracted by JoJo and what he's saying.
Scott, before you jump in, you know, BJ, you mentioned that JoJo is a master troll. And early in his NBA career, a lot of people knew him because he was always tweeting Rihanna asking if she was single. And today I actually had someone call me up and they sent me the most random statistic I've ever seen. And they said to me, you need to ask BJ on the podcast about this. And I said to them, I don't need to ask BJ about this because I can tell you word for word his answer. So BJ, we're going to try this out right here. When Rihanna attends an NBA game, the home teams win 6% more of their games than they do when she's not there.
How many percent? Durant, did you say? And what percent was that, Mo?
They go from winning 60% of their games to winning 67% of their games at home.
Okay.
Kevin Durant goes from averaging 32 points a game to averaging 36 points a game. Dwight Howard goes from being a 56% free throw shooter to becoming a 64% free throw shooter. The only exception to this rule is Dwayne Wade, who actually goes down 10% in field goal percentage when Rihanna is in attendance. BJ, what are your thoughts?
I don't have any. What should I take from this amazing statistic?
That is so random.
I mean, I just want to know the person who's sitting there with that much time to figure that out. Okay.
But, probably someone like me.
Okay. So what should I take from this? What should I take from this?
See, I thought BJ would say, man, I like to keep it on the court or something to that, that nature.
I mean, you know, Mo, I'm not new to this game. You know what I mean? Like, okay, Rihanna comes to the game. That's like me playing, and believe it or not, there's
there's been some attractive women that used to come to the Bulls games. Okay. Okay. And Mo, believe it or not, I used to be a young guy. Believe it or not, this isn't my first go around here. Believe it or not, Mo, you know, hey, the Bulls, that's a, you know, we had a good run.
But
hey,
did
Mo,
you notice it when you were playing?
Hey, Mo, here's the difference between this generation and my generation. Now, this generation is talking about who's on the sideline. And my generation, you was talking about who's on the court. They came to see me play. Y'all coming to see them. When you came to see the Bulls, you came to see the Bulls and the Knicks play. This generation, y'all coming to see who's sitting on the sideline. That's the difference. See, my generation, Showtime. No, I'm going to say this. My generation, Showtime was what was going on the court. The sideshow was who was at the game to see who was playing against the players who was playing on the court.
BJ, this is dangerous because it's the offseason. I've got unlimited time. And if we turn up to the next episode and I say, BJ Armstrong shot 20% better from three when Halle Berry was in attendance, what are you going to say?
That's their problem. I did my job. I had a job. So all I'm saying is this. Your generation talks about everything except what's going on the court. So if you want to talk about somebody that's in the stands and how that affects, you guys have all of the trainers, you have all of the workout guys, you got the masseuse, you got the analytics, and we're still talking about stuff that don't matter on the court. This is what's amazing to me, that we're sitting here again talking about something that doesn't matter.
It's the offseason. Nothing matters.
No, I don't understand this. So I'm trying to learn, because when we played to the Garden, you know, people came to see Pat Ewing. People came to see the stars.
So whoever was there wouldn't affect your performance at all.
We came there to perform. We were the show.
Yeah, but you didn't see anyone to give a little bit extra.
Mo, we were the show. I didn't come there to see, man, did you see so-and-so standing? No. Those people came in our locker room to see Jordan. Mm-hmm. Jordan was the star. They all came to see him. I wasn't there to like, hey, man, let's see who's sitting on the front row today. And as I'm warming up, did you see so-and-so? So-and-so? Hey. No. No, yeah. We came there with the idea of, here's a guy. My job was, hey, man, I got to get this guy 37 points a night. That's what they all paid to see. I got to win this game.
And you had to make the shots that you were going to get in the game.
Those little four or five shots. Hey, man, if I missed three of them, Phil Jackson was like, hey, what's wrong with you tonight? Hey.
Rihanna's over there. I'm nervous.
Hey, coach. Rihanna's in the building tonight. I can't focus. Yeah. Oh, no problem, BJ. Don't worry about it.
Exactly.
That's not how that's going to work.
Okay. You're a better man than me, because if Rihanna can't see me play, I'm shooting from half court every time I get a damn ball.
That's what I'm saying. And listen.
Scott, you bring Ice Spice to a pickup game over here in London. I'm dropping 100. I don't care.
Yeah, and I understand the professionalism of why they're there. Like, I know why they are there. It's the whole marketing thing. I'm not into that. I signed up to be a professional player, professional basketball player. And I respected them. I remember when we were working out for the, what is that thing? What is it? Jordan was shooting that movie.
Space Jam.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It was amazing to me how all of the movie stars showed up to watch the pickup game. And there were some very attractive people there. No one stopped playing, believe it or not. and no one left the pickup game. So that's a win-win for me. Okay.
You know why that happened, BJ.
So, but you guys stop playing because such and such is there. Because this is what's amazing to me. Hey, hey, no one stopped playing and no one left the gym.
Do you know why? Do you know why, BJ?
Why? Why?
Because a wise man said to me once, he said, do you know what I tell a player?
What do you tell him?
Play on.
Okay, then. Well, maybe this generation needs to understand the rules of the game.
Hey, Mo been listening to those 532 episodes. Exactly.
Scott, maybe this generation needs to learn the rules of the game. Play on. Yeah, right. And you know what? You know what I found, Mo? Everyone loves a winner. That's one thing I learned. Exactly. I'm gonna take Scott's advice. Everyone loves a winner.
we got to stay on the side of the line.
Hey,
don't want to cross the line of scrimmage.
No one remembers how many points I averaged. No one remembers what my field goal percentage. But everyone loves a winner. I can tell you that.
Exactly.
That's a fact. That's a fact.
Okay. So moving right along.
So, Scott, I wanted to get your take on something that happened this week. On another podcast, I heard Chauncey Billups talking about one of the players on the Portland Trailblazers this season that just ended. They posted one of their dunks at halftime during a game. And Chauncey said he went absolutely crazy at them. If you were a coach, one of your players is posting Instagram clips at halftime, what's the Scott Perry reaction?
Rolling with Chauncey. BJ just went talked for 5 minutes about non-distraction distractions. In this era, you know, we're going to make Rihanna and all of the people that are on the external, like they factor into the performance. So no, first of all, I don't want any phones in the locker room, especially at halftime, and guys looking at clips like that. We're going to look at the clips that are pertinent to us going out here and winning the second half and winning the game. I understand, trust me, I don't want to sound like the old man on the corner. I know what era we in. Everybody's on the phones. Everybody's on social media. The immediacy of information. I get it. I understand it. Utilize it a lot. But there's some things that still got to be sacred with this game of basketball. And no matter how much things change from a technology standpoint or in terms of how the game is played, there are certain basics and fundamentals to me that were there well before I was introduced to the game of basketball, that were at the beginning of time, and that should be there well after I'm gone. And some of that is just the integrity of your locker room and the universal focus for everybody in that locker room. That starts with the players, all the coaches, and whatever support staff is in there, you know, trainers, whoever. So Chauncey has every right. I didn't hear that, but I'm definitely not surprised at that because look, I can guarantee you this with Chauncey, you know, they weren't doing that when he was in Detroit. He and none of the players, Ben Wallace.
Yeah, it would have taken about 4 hours on a dial-up connection for Chauncey to upload one of his highlights back in 2004.
And I could tell you this, and if somebody had even another player attempted to do that, and a player saw that, it wouldn't even got to the coach because the players themselves would have dealt with that back in that time, that Pistons group. So that's my take on it.
I hear it. Well, it's the offseason. That's another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast. I hope you guys enjoyed it. We can talk more if you want. No, we can talk about tomorrow.
We didn't get to the court. I mean,
you tell me. You tell me, B. You take away. Take it away.
No,
nothing's happened on the court between yesterday and today. So what can we talk about?
Well, let's give a little shout out to Andrew Nembhard for signing his contract with the Indiana Pacers. We started the show talking about Tom Thibodeau earning his 3-year extension.
$59 million.
Yes, he's a young man that I, in my belief, really earned his extension with the Indiana Pacers. Key member, I really liked him. And let me just share a quick story of him. When I first watched Andrew Nembhard, I had heard about him from some people that I really respect in the basketball space. And he was a freshman at University of Florida. Went down there to scout him, to see him. Didn't play particularly well. Was concerned about him. Fast forward a couple of years, I go see him at Gonzaga when Chet Holmgren is there. And boy, then I could really see who he was as a player. Really liked how he could get into the paint. He was very clever, found open teammates. The knock on him was his ability to make perimeter jump shots. But he was much better at that stage when I saw him at Gonzaga than when I had seen him a couple of years prior at Florida.
And then he spent four years in college.
Yes. And so then when he gets to the Pacers, you know, he played very well at the Chicago pre-draft camp. I remember, you know, having a lot of discussions with people because I saw him as a really first round guy. He was, as a name at that time, he wasn't firmly in the first round, you know, amongst a lot of the, you know, scouts around the league. But that guy proved that he was worthy of that. He's gotten better every year. And in the big moments during the playoffs, in those games that Halliburton missed, he showed up big.
Big time.
He showed up really big. And was key and was pivotal in this team and beating the Knicks, you know, and advancing to the conference finals.
And it's great that the Pacers managed to lock him up on an extension, because you know a team who really wanted to get Nembhard on their team this summer?
Who was
that? The San Antonio Spurs.
He would have been a great fit. They were really keen
on getting Andrew Nembhard over on their roster.
I think he would have been a really good fit for them too, just from not only a basketball standpoint, personality standpoint as well too, but. Hey, look, that when you can have a guard like that who was your backup point guard, but could easily start and take over for you when guys go down, that's a big thing to have. So again, congratulations to him. Those are the type of stories and signings that I like to see. Those guys who are below the radar, have, you know, worked their way up. And proven to be really solid NBA players, players that can help you win games. And again, congratulations to Andrew Nembhard.
And he's on Canada's roster for the Olympics that start. Yes. Well, when do they start? On Sunday? Saturday? Sunday? I don't know, but it's coming at you real soon.
I know the USA team's first game is Sunday, I believe.
With Serbia. Mm-hmm. Oof, that's going to be a tough one. We'll do a preview tomorrow. That's going to be a tough game for them, though. Mm-hmm. But before we go, BJ, I believe it's your turn to do the outro.
Yeah, I want to do the outro, but I want to make a quick comment. This is, you know, what Scott said was, you know, he just kind of said it because he's been in this business for so long. But you don't want to ever, when someone gives you knowledge like Scott just did and shared that knowledge with you, you know, that's the difference between drafting an incomplete player, which we live in this space where everyone is in the space where, you know, we're here to develop players. Right. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the ability to evaluate a player. And Scott just kind of said it casually because he's been doing it for so long. This young man developed for 4 years in college. And suddenly now all of his weaknesses at one point in his career now has been turned over into like a strength in some regards, because he is a complete player. Yes. And when I say complete, he's able to adapt and be able to function in an NBA game at an elite level versus an all NBA caliber guard in the playoffs.
He might have been the toughest individual player the Celtics had to match up with. They had no answers for him.
This is what I'm saying. I mean, he was doing this versus Jalen Brunson. And then he turned around and did it against Drew Holiday.
Holiday, exactly.
Okay, now, here's the guy. Now, we hear all these guys. This guy is the number one player. This guy is one and done. This guy is, when you just listen to what Scott said, he just kind of said it. Well, yeah, when I first saw him here, I think he started out, if I remember correctly, Florida.
Florida, yeah, University of Florida.
And then I remember, Scott, I carried my son, Oscar, and we went to see him right up the road here at Pepperdine when he was at Gonzaga.
Yes. Yep.
And I just kept following him because I said, this guy has really now, you know, first he was just a guard, a point guard. Then you could see he could defend a little bit.
Then you could see he could run a team a little bit. And then I was really impressed. I said, oh, he knows how to play with a pro, because you knew Chet was a pro.
Exactly.
You knew how to run and defer and play and contribute and do all those things. They were a top five ranked team all year, and he contributed to that. Young players, listen to what Scott just said there. The key to being successful is not to become a player that suddenly now you are just a player who has one skill set. You can just shoot corner threes.
Or right.
You can just whatever. You're, you're whatever, 3-and-D guy, whatever they call these guys. The goal here is to try to become a complete player so that you can grow and become the best version of yourself. Scott just said it. He didn't make a big deal about it, but I just don't want to pass that off, because the way we are looking at players today, most of these players, they're just specialists now.
Yeah.
The first thing you say, I just was in Vegas for 10 days. Oh, he's got to improve his shooting. And I kept thinking to myself, is there anything else going on in this game other than shooting? There has to be. Somebody's got to pass it. Somebody's got to rebound it. Somebody's got to defend. Somebody's got to set screens. Every single scout now is just putting emphasis on shooting. We need to add shooting to our team. We need to add shooting here. This guy, Nembhard, and I'm happy for guys like that. Everyone talks about old school. No, just tell it like it is. Here's a kid that has made himself a complete player. He's a good little defensive player now. He can run a team now. He can score now. And he's a competitor now. And he contributes to winning. And I just wanted to say that, because you said it so casual. But, Scott, it was so
– it went under the radar.
It's just great to hear. Yeah, he just said it. Yeah. I just want to make sure that people understand that is a very difficult thing to do in today's game, because those players go unnoticed. And that's our problem now. That's our problem now, because we put so much emphasis on, oh, man, this guy, he's got a 45-inch vertical. This guy.
That leads to make another podcast in itself, when we talked about how the rest of the world is catching up to the U.S. Yes. One of the main reasons is that over in Europe and across the globe, they are teaching the complete game to these players.
There you go. But we keep saying here, oh, we've improved. If we've improved and they've improved, well, certainly their improvement is better, because they've literally caught up and passed us up.
I mean, think about it. Nikola Jokic, Luka Doncic, those two guys might have 10-inch verticals, but they got between them. But they have every fundamental skill you're going to have. They can play out of the post. They can play mid-range. They can play from beyond the arc. They know how to play without the basketball when necessary. All of these different things. Pass and cut, screen, all of those things. And you start looking at
slow.
Yes.
I mean, and it's unbelievable to me that we say these things.
Yeah, and now, like you said, we wanted to hear, it seems like we're developing specialists. Okay, be a great athlete, you're going to be a rim runner, rim protector, and catch lobs. Yes. That's your role. We're not going to develop any post moves for you. We're not going to develop a mid-range shot for you. Or if you're a wing player, okay, you got to be 3-and-D. Get you a spot beyond the arc, And so unless you just innately have all of the ball skills to go ahead and play, you know, like what we're talking about, handle, pass, shoot, defend, all those different things. People are, it seems like our development tracks right now, just to BJ's point, just going to that one specific skill. And guess what the problem is for that? If you're a young player and you're listening to this, boy, let that skill, be off for a week or two. You know, if you can't make a shot, you might find yourself going from a guy who's 6th or 7th man down to 10, 11, because now you can't shoot. You can't do anything else. This is basketball. You want to play, be able to execute as many fundamentals and skills as you can. And that's what we got to get back to as a country, especially with our young people, and developing them in that vein versus in these specialized veins.
Well, I just want to say thank you, Scott, for saying it. I know it's just second nature to you, but it is such a missing component now of the business that young people, we put all this emphasis on developing, okay? Mm-hmm. Development means you are developing to become a complete player. Complete player. Yeah. And let Jokic and let Shai Alexander and Luka Doncic, when you look at these players, look at Wembanyama, look at these guys. These guys are complete players, which is different than what we're doing here. Everyone wants to put blame. No, just try.
And
go ahead.
The funniest part about everyone being obsessed with shooting, as if Giannis didn't walk in that door, win two MVPs and a championship without a jump shot.
Exactly. Now, and on that, get buckets.
Hey, you know exactly. There we go. Subscribe to the show. Use your support for Apple. Get the link in the description. Get your copy of NBA 2K25. BJ's, tell them one more time.
Get buckets. There we go.